get started, there's an agenda in the back of the room for people that want to follow along. We're kind of billing this as an organizational meeting to get started, and want to welcome Senator Kelly in addition to Senator Jones and Representative Miller and Representative Davis, Representative Finkelstein. And I'm just at this stage facilitating the meeting here. There are a number of things I think that I'd like to have discussed today. Maybe we could start out.
Senator Jones?
I get the first agenda, first item out of the way. I'd like to move that Senator Scholl be appointed chair. In order.
Discussion on the motion is. Is there any objection, Representative Davis?
Without asking, ask.
Without objection, Senator Porchow, myself, elected chair. What I would propose here, we've got some time, I'd like to hear from all the committee members on, but just a little bit as far as some overall procedures and goals, as I would see, and I've talked to some of you individually about it. I would see, I guess, from a personal standpoint, what I would like to see come out of all of our deliberations, which I think are going to be maybe even more extensive than we think, but I would like to still proceed with some of the overall objectives that some of us have always talked about trying to come out of our process with essentially the same, virtually the same, if not the same list of summary of major improvements, major changes in our overall ethics statutes, while at the same time, I see that, and it's no secret to anybody around here, that there is a lot of criticisms, a lot of problems that have surfaced, and frankly, a lot of confusion, because we're dealing with a very lengthy bill. And I would see us as trying to hold together, you know, some integrity in the bill, look at changes from a whole standpoint, trying to stick with what the major objectives are of the ethics bill, but at the same time provide several days, several hearings of opportunity for lots of people from a lot of different angles to come before us and testify specifically, hopefully, by line number and page number on those things that are of concern to them, those things that are troubling them, or things that we should look at. I see a lot of our work, frankly, as trying to conform some of the language in this bill to our more standard statutory terms, trying to clarify things that I've seen things that I don't fully understand that probably could be clarified, conforming some of these laws to our existing body of law. And then in addition, I suspect that we'll have a number of policy decisions and a number of things that would need at some point voting up or down on which way we want to go. And as we proceed, rather than stopping at every paragraph and having a debate on each concept, I would suggest that we might be able to work better by proceeding through our hearing process, flagging those things that any member has or that some testifier may have, and having our staff have a running kind of listing of two major kinds of lists: conforming, technical, clarifying type language changes, which we would be directing them to develop language as we're going forward for our benefit at some point, and then another list of policy, you know, major policy decisions, whether there's going to be $10,000 in an office account or $6,000, and that we would flag those, hold them. Members would say, I want to revisit this, I want to come back to this issue, and then we would take up those issues in a, you know, one or more major work sessions, but look at all the things before us as a whole so that we don't get into changing something that may affect something down the line, so that we have kind of an overall view of all the problems and all the areas, and then hopefully have some running work being done by staff in terms of alternate language or clarifying language. We'll run through things by our attorneys, work with the Attorney General's office and other people or the APOC is another example, where we probably have some conflicting statutes and double reportings that we'll want to address with them, but we'll have hopefully some of that work worked out. That's kind of how I'd see it. I would turn to anybody on the committee for overall comments or specific suggestions as to how you think the joint committee should or could proceed.
That sounds good. I'm just going to bring up one thing that I know this bill affects specific groups, legislative staff, legislators, lobbyists. I think maybe we should set aside time for each one of those groups, and maybe invite them at a certain time, and whoever, if you had some specific people out there that want to speak to it, fine.
I frankly think that'd be an excellent suggestion, and one of the groups you mentioned I think would be especially good, like staff, where people who may not feel otherwise comfortable to come before us. I think it'd be a good idea for the committee to specifically invite staff or a staff representative. I know there is a group meeting to come and testify on their own behalf, not representing their member, but on their own behalf, and lay out along with everybody else some of their specific concerns in the bill. I think that's an excellent idea, and also grouping people might be a good idea also, where we say, you know, invite lobbyists and know if they're going to participate or not, and invite other legislators to come and speak to us. But I think that's an excellent suggestion.
I think we're interested in hearing from the people that are affected. That's what we're here for.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kelly.
If I could beg the indulgence for the committee for a minute. I do not envy the job you are undertaking this evening. It's going to be a lot of work, and one of the reasons why each of you was selected for this committee was because you have in the past shown the time and the willingness to put the kind of work in it's going to be necessary in the next 2 weeks. This is going to be a monster job, and we all know, those of us that have been here for a while know how much time and effort you're going to have to put in to do it. I'm convinced you can do it. Right now, nobody likes the bill. I haven't heard of a lobbyist that can say a sane word about the bill. I haven't heard of a staffer that likes the bill. I only know of a handful of legislators that wanted to read the bill, but they've heard things about the bill they don't like. So you really have a tough job, but I think that as you go through the process, if you make an effort to keep the other members of the Senate and the House informed as to your progress, I think that we may be able to develop a bill that this committee is comfortable with and that the Senate will be comfortable with, the House. The heck with the lobbyists. They get paid enough money. We don't have to worry about that. But I think we can develop something to pass before the end of this session. And it all starts right here, and I know how much work you're going to have to do. So in advance, I'll thank you. And when you get the bill done, let me know.
Thank you, Senator Killen. Other comments, suggestions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Miller.
I know in the House, a number of members have approached me that have read the bill, and they have prepared amendments. In fact, one member handed me his list of amendments, and it's 104. How would you like to deal with that? Would you, as we go through in individual sections, list those amendments at that time, and then we can break them out for a later date? Because most of these amendments, quite frankly, are clarifying language, and that we can list them out, clarification of language, and then another list, major policy issues that we have to take. But how would you like to do that? As we go through each section, or I'm not really sure at this point in time how you want to deal with that.
Yeah, Representative Miller, I think you raise a good point, because my first reaction is to encourage everybody to come with their list to testify. But you gave a great example. Whether or not Representative Rieger can come and do that at the time is problematic. His suggestions or his comments are equally valid. And I would see, at least for our first couple meetings and hearing, is we're probably not going section by section. We will hear from one interest or one group, and they will cover the entire bill. I think that we're going to have a paper flow, and when we talk about staff, I was going to suggest that we have central people designated to receive written comment, and that it would probably be most, Representative Rieger's here, we're just talking about your amendments, we would make copies of all written submissions, distribute them to all members for your information, and not knowing how big a job this may be, I would suggest as a general rule that we pay attention to every written submittal and have our attorney and have our staff review each one and flag it as a problem. If they think that there's something that could correct it, develop that alternative language. Then in our work session, I would suggest that we start down the list on the technical clarifying side. When it comes to the policy decisions, I think we want to kind of look at all of those together and not approach them quite the same way. But on the clarifying technical ones, we would integrate those right into everything else and develop a comprehensive list and approach, so that, and some of it is our own laziness, I think we don't want to sit here and develop a clarifying approach to each one. Hopefully we would have that, some suggestions worked out in advance, and whether or not they're necessary or not, or, you know, just have some technical opinion or legal opinion or staff recommendation. But each member, of course, would be hopefully have that same information if it's something that they feel warrants something, to make sure and flag it. And of course, that could be a duplicate way too, is if you see something, for example, on that list, 10 of those 107 that you think are real problems, flag them, and we would absolutely make sure that we address them in some way. Does that sound like a plan? But I think at this stage, I think we should take all written submissions, you know, and give weight to all of them, and give everything due consideration.
Sure.
I am hopeful that all members wouldn't be so diligent as Representative Rieger.
Because I know there was a number of other members too that have approached me with
107
proposed amendments, and there will be quite a few of them, I think, when it's all said and done. And I think it's a good idea to approach it that way, and to break them down, because a lot of those of the amendments that I have seen so far, they are, if you go to the narrative, are covered in the narrative, but the way that it's worded in the bill, sometimes it can be quite confusing.
I myself have 3 pages of questions, so I mean, I think everybody is in that thing. My hope, though, is by integrating them or treating them all, that we will have a lot of people coming about the same sections, and we'll be able to solve several people's concerns in a consistent way or in a similar way. Representative Finkelstein.
When we do get to the point where we've completed the hearings and we're into work sessions, I think this may be implied in what you said, but I think we should at that point not take more public testimony. We're going to have a terribly tough job. If we develop a problem where we want to, you know, solicit testimony at that point, I think it would be good, but continuing, you know, effort to take public testimony throughout the deliberations might be keep us from the hours of work necessary to find the solutions to the problems.
I've gone through several processes that like that, and it gets very complicated, and I think that's to be avoided. Yeah, I agree. Other questions, suggestions? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm pretty comfortable with what the discussion here and what people are having to say. I think it would be good to have some kind of a format that, as you said, during this time we will take testimony from these people and allow people the opportunity. And then I guess one thing that I would like to do, and perhaps Representative Finkelstein and I would like to kind of walk through the changes that have happened on the Senate side. I assume we'll probably adopt that, but it'd be nice if I could sit down with the staff member that worked with that, and we can come up to speed on that at some point. But I would hope this evening we can sort of lay out just what the time frame is, so at least for the next few days, for the work we're going to do. I, given the amount of amendments that only one member has proposed, I know that there is going to be a lot of work, but I agree with what you said about sort of using the yellow sheet, I guess, as a guide, and I think we do have an opportunity here to implement some changes that I'm looking forward to. So, thanks.
Let me just say the other things you mentioned are absolutely on the agenda tonight, and I hope we can address both of those. Before we go to that, I did schedule some time. Michael Josephson is here, and I would afford you the opportunity. You've had several forums here in the intervening days, and we would welcome any comments that you might have at this time. Please.
Thank you very much. First, I would like to at least clarify some situations. I keep hearing, as I heard on the floor today, that our position or my position has been that there should be no amendments and don't touch a word. I'll have to assume I must have said that. Enough people are quoting me as saying that. I don't think that's what I said, but I certainly don't intend it, mean it, or think that. Quite the contrary, even before the draft that you were working with, you got from legislative counsel, we made no less than 20 or 30 amendments improving and qualifying and trying to make it more consistent with Alaska law. Almost every single suggestion I've heard so far has been a good one. And not that we have to approve, but I want to stress our willingness to do so. In fact, our intent, if you please, if you'll allow us, is I want to submit a little suggestion of amendments on the basis of discussions we had with staff today and other things and thought. I think what's happening with the bill right now is absolutely perfect. It's what we hoped and we intended. We think for certain it needs to be fine-tuned. Language needs to be improved. What we had hoped, and it is not happening at least to date, is that individual sections would be just ripped out because individuals did not want to cover it. We felt that the comprehensiveness of the bill was critical and the issues that we're addressing. But they're clearly issues that sometimes the definitions are not as clear as they should be. Maybe they're occasionally too broad, maybe they're occasionally too narrow. I just want to echo that what I think you've said today, Mr. Chairman, is absolutely perfect as to a procedure. And I think having submitted 105 amendments from somebody is just ideal that someone would have gone through the bill that carefully. I would like to add one of our problems is, as was suggested, is when we initially wrote it, the commentary and the bill language were assumed to be very close together. We still hope, at least in its ultimate reading, it will be read that way because at least we've been told that it could be passed as comments like the Uniform Commercial Code, because absolutely it is very difficult to read the statute without the commentary. That doesn't mean you can't improve the statutory language. But I really want to make very clear in case, and I obviously haven't, I'm not going to win the Diplomacy of the Year award, that was clear to me today, that we had hoped and we had spent a great deal of time putting together a comprehensive package that we think really covers the ethics spectrum in a meaningful way with recommendations that we hope you'll be able to accept substantively. But no one to this date, I mean, I was surprised to hear Senator Kelly said nobody he knows likes the bill. I hadn't met anybody who didn't like it yet. I have met a lot of people who don't like me. I've met a lot of people who don't like the idea of the bill, you know, and find themselves put upon that they have to be considering this kind of thing at all. And unfortunately, some who believe the very presentation of the bill is an imputation on their character, which I certainly didn't intend. And I have not called anybody in the legislature crooks. I do not think people are dishonest here. But having said that, I really do believe that you are doing exactly what an accountable legislature ought to do. And I think you ought to hear from the various constituencies. If I can just take one more moment, I will tell you the areas we are most concerned about on the things that I've heard, and I think that deserve some attention. Clearly, there is an enormous amount of anxiety and interest in the post-employment lobbying area, especially with regard to staff. And one of the major problems is going to be certain we're defining that level of staff, which really ought to be subject to limitations, and that perhaps the existing definition is too broad. Clearly, it covers some things now that it ought not to, as people pointed out today, that if a senator won the governor's position and took the governor's, their staff with them, that staff might not be able to lobby the legislature. That's not intended. We have to find a way, and we're going to make some suggestions to you. I think that's our burden. We made the mistake. We will at least try to make a suggestion. But that's an area of concern. The second area of concern that I think I've heard a lot of expression on is the parts of the bill that are designed to what we would call directory, setting what we think is an ethical tone, trying to establish what ethical obligations are and what the burden we hope of an ethical legislator is without necessarily attaching punishment to it. Almost uniformly, we've had people criticize the statements, for instance, of pursuing representative democracy or what committee chairs ought or ought not to do, not so much on a disagreement of the policy stated, but the question of how are you going to enforce it. And one of the things I'd like to ask you to consider, and we're not sure if it's the case, if there's a way of including in this bill statements of normative ethics, what you think people should do without necessarily enforcement. We're not looking for ways to punish people in additional ways, but at the same time, there are suggestions that we make. There are certain inappropriate uses of the democratic process. And today it's not clear whether they're inappropriate or not. Is it appropriate, for instance, for a chairman to hold up a bill simply because he dislikes another person? We have been told that happens. The stories have been told. Well, at least the normative statement on whether that's an appropriate thing to do, it seems to us, ought to be made, even if we don't try to translate that into a misdemeanor or a civil fine. Because the whole goal of this statute, this bill, if you will, as you've said, looking at the whole thing, is to really raise ethics to a higher plane. And if we keep falling to the lowest level of how will we enforce this and is somebody going to go to jail for this, which is not the intention, we lose sight of the fact that there is a real opportunity to set an ethos. Not because it's bad. I'm not suggesting there's anything inherently wrong, but you don't have to be sick to get better. And one of the things that our study showed is that there is an issue in terms of respect. So we'd hope you'd look at those kinds of provisions, and I want you to at least know from our position in the Government Ethics Center, the punitive parts of this are least relevant. All that we're concerned is it doesn't be made so light that it's dismissed. I mean, our fear is if it's put in a preamble in a way or something that people may not take it seriously, they'll ignore it. But there are certain provisions there that people have criticized as being vague or idealistic, and we understand that. And we'd at least like to say we hope you'll find a way to keep that in terms of the spirit. Finally, we just really want to urge that the bill be read, understood, and considered, and ultimately adopted in the context of the commentary. That doesn't mean you can't change the commentary. Obviously, if you change the bill, you should change the commentary. But if this is to be a useful educational tool, and we really believe that 95% of the time this bill is going to be used to guide people's conduct, not to punish them and not to sanction them, the more expressive we are as to the goals, the more specific we are as to what it's trying to accomplish, I think the more effective it will be as an educational tool. And finally, I'll just end to apologize to anyone here or anybody else listening if they think I've attacked their integrity. I believe this body is showing enormous integrity to consider a bill of this nature. I think it's acting with enormous integrity when all kinds of excuses could have been used to say we couldn't deal with this in time. The very appointment of this committee has shown a real good faith commitment. A representative Boucher and his committee, I've testified twice before, has done an excellent job in bringing out useful, meaningful testimony. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of the process and also express my offer of service to continue to be whatever part of the process you think is helpful, which may mean go home and leave you alone, but I'm willing to help in any way that I can.
Mr. Josephson, thank you very much. Questions? Thank you very much. We'll be working in close contact.
In touch, right?
We'll be in touch. Why don't we go to the next item here, which Representative Davis brought up, and that's on bill status and CSs and a starting point. And it seems clear the Senate's done some work, the House has done some work. I know that you haven't followed necessarily what we've done. We haven't followed what you've done. I guess I have a preference of a starting point, but having said that, why don't we have just, I wouldn't mind having a little discussion about kind of, at least from the Senate standpoint, where we are and what we've done. The bill that is formally referred to at least the Senate side or this committee that we now have in our possession is the CS for Senate Bill 415 Judiciary. We've noticed it as the bill that we're holding hearings on, including today. We started, as Mr. Josephson said, with the draft bill from the consultant, and we ran that, of course, through our Division of Legal Services, and I believe you also started with that product. And there were a number of things worked out there. In the Senate Judiciary Committee, there were a number of what I call technical and conforming changes that were made. There were, I believe, and Mr. Gagin, maybe you can join us, there were a couple of substantive changes that, frankly, are before the committee. I mean, things like office allowance. I think there was a change made in the office allowance expense. That is not written in stone, but there's very, I think, Mr. Gagin, maybe you could summarize any substantive changes in the Senate Judiciary version.
Mr. Chair, I have, there's a memo that I've sent to all the members of the packet going over all the changes that were made. If you gave me a minute, I could go and say which ones were substantive and which ones were technical. I think, I want to apologize too, I apparently, while I was doing this memo, did not catch the office change. That's not referenced in the memo.
Well, just to say, I don't know what, I was going to, that we're kind of, that's at stage one. Stage two, your memo of April 20 would not have that in. April 20 memo describes changes from the Senate Judiciary version to what we're calling CS for Senate Bill 415 blank, dated 4-18-90. And I asked John to write a memo describing those changes, and those were done largely from testimony and written submission from the Attorney General's office on conflicts with existing statute, with existing penalties under criminal code. And Mr. maybe you want to summarize that or describe that in a
general way? The main point on the difference between the judiciary bill that's before you and the proposed blank CS
is mostly the concern of the Department of Law that there was some conduct that was defined in the bill as a Class A misdemeanor that is also currently taking a bribe, for instance, which is a B felony, and the Department of Law had the legitimate concern that when there's conflicting statutes covering the same conduct, the lesser penalty applies. So all of a sudden, your B felony of taking a bribe is now down to an A misdemeanor. Similarly, there were some provisions in the bill that carried no criminal sanctions, that only carried the civil sanctions, which were misdemeanors under other criminal statutes. Again, the concern was if you have a statute that has no criminal sanctions for conduct, and if you have a statute that has criminal sanctions, the leniency rule applies and the person can't be prosecuted. So the most recent version essentially references these other statutes. For instance, where it used to say taking a bribe, this is an A misdemeanor, it now says, gives the conduct and says this conduct may be prosecuted as taking a bribe, or elements that could be prosecuted as improper use of state property. If you're talking over $500, you're talking felony theft. So the bill is now read says, if you do this, it's prosecuted as theft. And again, depending on the amount, it can be a C felony, an A, or a B misdemeanor. So essentially, those are the major changes in the most recent version. If I could go back, Mr. Chair, just going quickly through the changes between the House bill, HB 496, which I guess I'd call the pure Josephson bill, and the Judiciary Committee substitute. There was first in the section about using state property for improper purposes, private gain or political, there was an addition to use to make it or authorize the use. I think there was some concern that some members of the legislature were allowing individuals to use their offices for improper purposes. There was also a change, whereas the pure Josephson bill said, talked about using resources to influence an election, it was felt that what was appropriate was an election of a candidate and that a person should be able to use resources, say, to advance the view that he or she thought was appropriate in an initiative. So where it said election in several places, it now says the election of a candidate. There was a modification of the provision about you can't receive campaign contributions at your place of employment. It was felt that if a campaign contribution was inadvertently, somebody who didn't know better sent you a campaign contribution at your Anchorage office, that rather than resolicit it, you're allowed to keep it, but you have to immediately transfer it to your campaign office. You can't process it in your office, and you certainly, in no case, can solicit out of your office. That still remains intact.
Can I hold you up for a second, John? You've got 2.5 more pages of this?
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't my intention that we get into a lot of detail. I am, as Representative Davis is fond of saying, want to have a little certain comfort level here with the drafts. But more than anything, I think if we're going to start out in hearings tomorrow, for example, we can talk about schedule. People who are coming before us need some starting point. And maybe the starting point is, at this stage, more important than the details. I think in the memo, I would encourage everybody to look at all these changes. We can always go back and redo some of these changes. I don't view many of them as particularly significant, and most of them, I mean, I characterize as helpful.
Well, Chairman, when I made that comment, John, what I meant is I thought for the House members, we should maybe allow ourselves some time to walk through that so we know where we are. That's what I was referring to, and I think it's that really doesn't need to have the full committee to do that. But I
hope my memo is self-explanatory.
Well, it might be good for you to explain some of it, but perhaps we can do that prior to the next meeting, just allow ourselves some time to sit down and talk about that. That would be my preference. And Mr. Chairman, would you like to or entertain a motion for us to go ahead and adopt this as a working draft?
As a working draft, my suggestion would be that we adopt the CS for Senate Bill 415 Select Joint Committee on Legislative Ethics.
Yeah, I'd so move.
Discussion, Representative
Chairman, first of all, this
we're talking about the official committee substitute from judiciary or the committee the draft committee substitute from us, the 418?
418. This we've talked. 418 is what we would adopt as this committee's working documents.
Well, Mr. Chairman, only I think it's fine. I've got only one concern. Is it in this version the disparity of? I'm not sure it is. I'm just asking because I haven't had a chance to go through this one. A disparity in the office account size between the House and the Senate. Is that part of this one?
I believe it is, and that's what I flagged as the one policy choice substantive thing that came to my mind, as I know that that was changed in the judiciary version, and I think it was picked up in, I mean, it wasn't changed.
Page 85, line 21.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I guess I have a question then for John. Is there anything else in here that sets up a disparate system between the Senate and the House?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know how to resolve it now, but I hate to use that as a starting point. If there's anything that sets off one body versus another, is that
Representative
kind of
Finkelstein? We can draw a line through that number right now before adopting this piece of
paper. That'd be satisfactory to me, Mr.
Chairman. Why doesn't everybody turn to page 85 on line 22 and just change the word 10 to 6 on that line, and that'll be the starting point for the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure I can be convinced on the merits to, you know,
I'm sure
make the changes.
Did we mention there was four of us on the side of the
table? I only see two, Mr. Chairman.
Any more discussion or any more questions of Mr. Gideen on this 418 draft as amended before us?
Just kind of a general comment that it would sort of be my preference that we start kind of start from scratch and move ahead. But I understand the reasons for doing this. But I also think the chairman, Senator, you have a willingness to sort of bring us up to speed. And if we have a significant disagreement, it's up for debate and for grabs, so to speak. So.
Right. And let me say it again that. I mean, there are times when the guy that grabs the paper first, then you need the votes to get something out. That is not the chair's intention, and I view things that are maybe in here the same as are on Representative Rieger's sheet of paper. I mean, we can go back to these things just like we would go back to something else.
I appreciate that.
Is there any objection to the adoption, then, of the 418-90 Deardorff draft as, and we will call this Select Joint Committee on Legislative Ethics, CS, for 415. Without objection, then we will adopt that. And for people in the audience and others, then as we proceed, if people have concerns and have particular suggestions, if you could gear those to page number and line in this particular version, and we'll try to make more copies of it so people will have these copies. I don't know, John, what the copy situation is. Are we just Xeroxing copies?
Yeah.
I don't think we have a big stockpile right now
of
this, do we?
No.
So maybe overnight we could, you know, make some copies that people can pick up in either my office or Representative Davis. Maybe a good time to talk about this item on staffing. I would suggest that Mr. Gideen is our appointed attorney from Legal Services, that he would be responsible for the ongoing drafting for the collection of proposed amendments and kind of policy choices and legal technical conforming, and that Jeannie Larson of my staff and up to you, but Catherine Reardon of your staff would be kind of points of contact for people submitting written material and trying to keep us and John and others in abreast of all the written material. Is that something that's satisfactory to you or to the rest of the committee?
Fine.
I think that we will have lots of paper here soon.
We could settle that and move it out of committee.
Yeah, I think that was done on a committee or two earlier. The other item here is the hearing schedule. Just as a preemptive strike, I did arrange for some meeting time and some room numbers. We're not committed to anything at this point. We do have time tomorrow morning in this room. Tomorrow afternoon, the Senate State Affairs Committee, we've canceled our meeting. Tomorrow afternoon is available in this room. Sunday afternoon is available. Monday evening at 5:30 in this room is available. I frankly don't see how we're going to avoid spending several meetings in a row here early on this week, and I just kind of leave it to the committee as to your own personal travel and obligations and committee meetings. My guess is that we will probably end up meeting best in the evening beyond this weekend. Do people have particular druthers over the weekend or constraints for this weekend? I know Senator Fakes will be returning on 10 o'clock tomorrow, so she would be available later in the morning or afternoon tomorrow. I have no particular constraints.
I haven't
ruined my softball game already here this weekend.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Done a great job.
Well, Mr. Chairman, how about Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and Monday evening? And if we conclude Saturday afternoon that Sunday afternoon is unnecessary, then
That would be a good way to go. We have floor session tomorrow. I have no reason why it would last more than an hour. 1 or 1:30 ought to be fine. You want to say 1 o'clock tomorrow here, and just plan 1 o'clock Sunday. We'll make a decision on that at the conclusion. See if we can avoid that, and then for sure at
5:30.
And 5:30 here on Monday evening, for tomorrow. We going back to Senator Jones and some other people's suggestion, I mean, we could target some people to invite specifically, or we could hold it open. I think, you know, it being Saturday and short notice, it might do some good to invite people or to publicize it. Of course, we'll be on the floor tomorrow. We can announce the meeting tomorrow. But people may or may not have a good chance to... there are a number of people with, already written comments.
Mr. Chairman, we can easily invite the lobbyists just by scattering notices outside the lounge.
I may be out of town on Sunday, but there's no conflicts tomorrow, no. Except for softball.
Let me ask some people I see in the audience. On APOC, I know APOC is submitting some written comments. For example, for tomorrow, is that something that you would be available to present some of your questions or problems or suggestions?
I know that the executive director and chair had made some arrangements with staff to appear before you, and if that's not possible, I could always handle it.
Well, I guess I'm looking for, we don't want to have a hearing and not have anybody show up. I think as a minimum, what we do have, obviously, we have some APOC people. I know the ACLU has written comments. Representative Rieger might have some written presentations. We have others who have developed some. I know there's a staff group meeting. They may or may not be ready. We will invite staff people to testify and get that word out. And in addition, I would call the members' attention to the memo that accompanied our new CS from Mr. Deardorff, who left us with another page and a half of suggestions. And this is a memo dated April 18th from Mr. Deardorff, and he has 15 additional points for comment. And so we're no shortage of written material to take into consideration.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I had the mistaken belief that you'd solve all those with your new necessity.
Likewise. Is there any further questions or comments? Does anybody in the audience have any particular questions or comments? I know a lot of people here are interested in various parts. If not, we will try to make the new CS available to people. We will be meeting here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, we are adjourned.